This is Derek Warren here interviewing Sheriff Paul Coons, Effingham County Sheriff. Going to talk about the Safety Act today. I know it's a big topic. It's just been implemented, about 8-9 months or so ago, roughly?
Yeah, that's about right. And hello, Derek. It's always great to come in and see you and talk to the people. I always enjoy it when I come here.
Yeah, well, it's a hefty topic this time around. We talked about a canine Dale last time. That was a feel-good topic. This one's a bit more nitty-gritty, getting down into the details of it.
It is.
So kind of go over the details of the implementation of the Safety Act. How has that gone over?
Well, you hit it right there when you said it's a more serious topic. It's also very, I think, political. There are a lot of opposing opinions on the Safety Act. And I'll tell you that we are doing the very best that we can with it. We're abiding by it. We are, making it work. I don't want to let anyone or lead anyone in the county to believe that we are resisting this. We're doing the best we can with it. And I think first, before I start on the implications of the Safety Act, maybe, I need to ask, we need to put in focus, what was the Safety Act meant to do? What were the goals of the Safety Act? Was it put in place to promote or to better public safety? Was it put in place to keep people out of jail? That's an important question. And I will tell you that my opinion, what I'm about to say today is strictly my opinion. I see the Safety Act from my position as your sheriff in this community. I know that my opinion, I'm quite sure it's not the same as our state's attorney, our prosecuting attorney. I'm sure it's not the same as the judges that sit here on the bench, or even as the police chiefs or other public, officials here. It's only my opinion and what I see. And I will say that if the Safety Act was implemented to keep more people out of jail, it's absolutely working. We are running at about 60% population in our jails, what we did pre-Safety Act. So in that aspect, yes, we have less people in jail. We have far fewer people that are able to be held after committing a crime. Now, no one wants to be on the side of saying you have to have money to be treated preferentially or to get out of jail. No one wants to be on that side of the fence. I understand that. But the Safety Act does make it very difficult, in some cases next to impossible, to hold people after a crime. Only certain crimes people can be held. And that does cause us problems at times. It does not promote public safety or the safety of the community. And those are things that we're dealing with.
Yeah, I know. I type up the police blotter every day, so I see you have to release most people now, unless it's some sort of violent offense or something like that. Has there been a problem with releasing somebody and then they go back and they commit another crime immediately right after that and you can't get on top of it in time?
Well, I I've thought about this before I came in for us to talk about this. And one thing I don't want to do is I don't want to sensationalize anything. But I remember when it happened. I heard it on the radio. Our record has been 15 minutes. We released someone on pretrial conditions, and within 15 minutes, he was arrested in the city for committing a crime against another person. So in that case, the Safety Act let us down. There's no doubt about it. No one was injured, but still, 15 minutes we had someone, after someone was released on pretrial conditions, they were arrested for a separate and different crime. So, does that happen every day, though? No, Derek, of course it doesn't. That's just one instance that comes up to mind. And, I'm going to say now, too, that with pretrial conditions, that's like, let's say someone gets arrested and the officer believes that he is a threat to the community, to a particular person's safety, or he meets one of those, meets the criteria to be held and to go before a judge. When he goes before a judge the next morning or the next day, the judge can put pretrial conditions on his release.
Right. Yeah, there is a way to keep him detained with that, if need be, right?
Well, they let them out of jail. They let them out on pretrial conditions with certain rules they have to follow. Those people get out. Now, 90% of the population, that may very well work. Maybe even higher than 90%. Like myself, let's say I make some poor decisions. I get arrested. I'm taken to jail. I go before a judge. And he says, Mr. Coons, you will not do this, this, and this. These are your pretrial conditions. Well, you know, I don't want to deal with the police again. I don't want to go back to jail. I don't want to be arrested. I would abide by those pretrial conditions most likely, and they wouldn't see me again until my court date. But there is a certain percentage of the population that does not work for. It's a small percentage, but there is a percentage that does not work for. That's probably right now one of my biggest concerns. If someone violates pretrial conditions, our state's attorney can ask for sanctions. Perhaps they can be detained then, locked up for a certain amount of days. But not necessarily arrested if it's not a detainable offense to begin with. And what I mean by that is, I think we need a little more consequences, a little more bite in our pretrial conditions. And perhaps the only way to do that is through legislation. You know, I hate to advocate for quote unquote more laws. You know, we need to enforce the laws we have, but I would like to see legislation that would allow the police to take someone in custody for violating pretrial conditions. Now, if someone does violate a pretrial conditions, yes, they can be arrested for a new offense. So it's not like they can't be brought back in if they're doing something wrong. But I think we ought to be able to take people into custody for violating pretrial conditions. That's just my opinion. Yes, maybe there are other ways to do this, but I would like to see some legislation change on that. Now, I won't, you know, try to tell anyone that I'm, you know, versed in legislation or how that should be done, but I'm going to be asking some of our legislators local for guidance or help with this because I think it needs to be done.
Yeah, there's always new amendments that are added to these new laws as they're implemented. They see kinks in them, and they'll try to fix them here and there.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, and we should do that. You know, for the better. We should always be working for the better of our, you know, communities and societies. And I will tell you, and with a fair amount of confidence, that there are, you know, we know there are 102 counties in the state of Illinois, and I've made this comment before, and people in the know have agreed with me. The Safety Act is probably administered or interpreted 102 different ways.
Yeah.
It is not the same here as it is in other counties, because when this came out, when it was drafted and given to us, there wasn't a lot of direction there. There wasn't you know, rules that everyone could go by. We've had to interpret this and make it work from, you know, the best we could. And of course, that's not me. That's not the sheriff that interprets, you know, how everything should be done. That are our judges that sit on the bench. I think it's the same with them. They have had to, you know, work and do this the best that they can and interpret. There just was not a lot of direction that came out with the Safety Act when it came.
Yeah, a little point in the one direction or the other would have definitely helped to get this implemented, at least broad spectrum, the same way.
Well, and in cases like this, a lot of times case law makes policy. But you know what makes case law? Bad decisions and lawsuits. So, you know, that worries me too. You know, we absolutely want to do the right thing. We have to be on the right side of the law. But, we, you know, and not that these two points should ever disagree, but I know, too, we always have to do what is right and keeps our community safe, too. So not that these two things are polar opposites or disagree with one another, but it has been a little hard. I make this joke all the time. My job would be so much easier if I was a lot smarter, but still, this doesn't all fall on me. I don't want to give people the impression that this has all fallen on the sheriff. Of course it hasn't, but the same problems I face, our state's attorney faces, our judges sitting on the bench, you know, face, the police chief faces. One good thing we do have here that I can say about Effingham's surrounding area is that these people all work very well together. I've got a lot of respect for our state's attorney and Aaron Jones. He helps me anytime I ask. The judges we have here that we have elected to sit on the bench are very good, and the foremost thing in their mind is doing the right thing and, you know, and interpreting the law correctly. So we have good people here. I'm proud to be a part of that team, and I don't want people to think that we are floundering or that they need to be worried, but it has been frustrating. It's been frustrating for me, you know, personally, because it's been difficult to make all these adjustments because they're huge. They are huge changes in how all of this is done and how we do business.
Yeah, I wanted to ask one thing about, like, say you arrest somebody that's from out of state. How does that work with the Safety Act? Do you have to release them on pretrial and then they have to come back to the county, Effingham County, to for the trial or the court date? Or do they go back to their home state?
No, they have to come back here. Okay. But now we still arrest people on warrants from out of state. But how we deal with those arrests are also dictated by the Safety Act. They have to come and get them. They have to tell us they're coming to get them. They have to come and get them with a certain amount of time or they'll be released. So that is also changed. But what's thrown it in the confusing mix here is we still do have people out there that are wanted on warrants. Right. You know, warrants that were issued before the Safety Act.
And those are grandfathered in with the bail as well, right?
No, those are still, they still have to pay post cash bail on those. Okay. Now, that may change if they don't have the cash bail. They're brought into the jail. They see go before the judge the next day. Of course, they can change any of that. But when they're arrested, they have the option of posting that bail from their warrant pre-Safety Act or staying in jail.
Okay.
We still have those warrants out there, and it's our job. That's what we do. So, but it can be complicated. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, one thing that I have thought about or that I've noticed is it's with the Safety Act. I don't have hard numbers, but it appears that we have more people in our jail with mental health issues. Because it has happened, it does appear to me those people will keep. We will keep in jail people with mental health difficulties, especially if they've been remanded to the custody of DHS because they're unfit for trial. We'll have those people in our jail, and the sheriff and his staff is left to deal with them. I've said it before, the sheriff and the jail, we've got a lot of good people there, but we are not the best place for someone with mental health issues. We are not a treatment facility. People, I hate to say it, but people generally do not get better in our care. And we have taken steps to try to mitigate that. We have brought in, and with the community's assistance, brought in mental health experts to help us with our inmates, because there's incentive for me to do that, because if the mental health that we can provide our inmates generally makes it a safer place for the staff to work.
Right.
So, I mean, I care for these people, but also it's in our best interest. But that is an interesting part of the Safety Act that I bet no one foresaw. The county jails are being tasked with more and more holding mental health, people that suffer from poor mental health. And to me, it's disturbing. I've always been an advocate that we need to change that. We need to look at that. There's something wrong when we can't keep an offender that we, know or has proven he will offend again, but yet we can keep mental health individuals. Yes, they've been charged with a crime, but keep them in our jails for months on end. That doesn't make sense to me. I don't have the answer today. I can only mitigate, the problems that arise from us having them, try to do our best, but that doesn't make sense to me.
Well, maybe there's some way that the mental health experts or an institution like that can kind of partner with the sheriff's office when they have situations like that where they can
We do. Thank goodness we do. We have, Heartland Human Services have been very good to us at the jail, and they help us, and we have an agreement with them. But I bet you I'm not the only jail that has this. Yeah. I would guess that this is probably a statewide problem, and it needs to be addressed from the top.
Yeah, that's another thing that could be put into legislation as well. If they have an instance like this, then the mental health experts can take over, that type of thing.
And I have been critical of DHS in the past. I understand COVID and the difficulties that placed on everyone, but I expected them to step up as a statewide organization, but instead it appeared to me that the counties and the locals had to bear the brunt of that issue. And so I was a little disappointed, and maybe, and still am, but we are working, we're striving to meet the demands to make this work. So I don't want to come in here and seem like everything I say is negative. We've made some good strides, I believe, locally. We're making this work. We're looking out for our people. But if your family is victimized, let's say, and there is an offender out there, and you know he's out there, and I can't blame this on the Safety Act. I can't say, well, Derek, we can't do our job because of the Safety Act. That doesn't work. I mean, that's not the right thing to say. So that's a frustrating part too. We have a job to do, and we do our best to see that it's done right. But this has been a little frustrating.
Yeah, working the kinks out and then finding out the gray areas and all that is definitely frustrating whenever you're trying to implement it. And you can't give the families the peace of mind that they deserve at times.
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes we can't. But I guess my only point is I can't blame it on the Safety Act. Because people, if my family is at risk, I don't care about the Safety Act. I just expect the police, the public servants, to do their job. And that's exactly what we're doing our best to do. We will do our jobs because, not just because we get paid, it's because I really believe this. It's who we are. It's our calling and our mission. I know there are people that don't think that all the time or that don't care much for the police, but we're a part of this community. We live here too. We have a vested interest to see that it's safe and a good place to live and raise your kids.